Over the past 2 days, Hualien has been rocked by a string of earthquakes, including two over magnitude 6. The quakes led to the partial collapse of two buildings in Hualien.
One was a hotel that had been vacant due to renovations. The other was a residential building that was heavily damaged after the April 3rd quake. No casualties were reported.
At 2:26 a.m., a magnitude 6 earthquake struck Hualien, sending the full hotel building tilting to one side. Police and firefighters rushed to the scene, calling out to potential casualties. During the rescue effort, another earthquake struck. First responders cordoned off the area to prevent public access. After inspecting the site, they confirmed that the hotel was empty, as it had been closed for renovations. No casualties were reported.
We're starting by dismantling public facilities in the vicinity, such as that traffic light. The procedure will be similar to the demolition of the Uranus building. We'll fill in the ground first to provide support to the building so that it doesn't tilt as much.
The tremor also further tilted the Tong Shui building, which was unoccupied after being marked for demolition following the April 3rd earthquake. The first floor caved in, leaving the second floor at ground level. The Hualien County government established a disaster response command center, and Commissioner Xu Zhenwei proceeded to the scene soon after.
The building had already been marked for demolition. They had put support beams on the side. It was all normal before 5 or 6 today, but this last time, when we tried to go near after 5, they didn't let us through. If reinforcements can come over immediately, demolition work can start at the Tongshui building. Due to the building's size, the process should take about 2 weeks.
Work and classes were suspended in Hualien on Tuesday. The county government has advised residents to stay in open spaces in case another quake strikes.
The full hotel had partially collapsed during Hualien's recent earthquakes, but the building had not previously been listed as risky or unsafe.
The collapse of an apparently sound building has left locals fearing for the safety of their homes.
During the earthquake and the shaking, the noise was so scary it was impossible to sleep. So I just drove out in the car and slept here. That's right, I ran outside. I didn't dare to sleep last night. It is apparent that in Hualien City there are still many cases of a building being damaged, but the owner not reporting it. I think that the Hualien County government should take responsibility for this and take proactive action.
After the April 3rd earthquake, locals reported dozens of damaged buildings and inspectors designated just over 100 of them as unsafe or risky to inhabit. But a local councillor says there are many more damaged buildings that have gone unreported or unnoticed. He wants the local government to carry out its own building inspections so that locals no longer need to live in fear. Widespread damage has been reported in Hualien as a result of the quakes. At Sholin Township, the piers of Tongmen Bridge were shifted out of place and big cracks have appeared on the asphalt.
Provincial Highway 8 is now closed off to traffic until repairs are made and debris is cleared. Taroko National Park will remain closed until May 7th.
Here at Hualien Shiling Township, the bridge's piers have been displaced. This is the Tongmen Bridge, the only access road to the Mukumugi Valley. Large cracks appeared on the asphalt after the quakes.
We're still getting a lot of aftershocks. Everyone is scared. Even I haven't slept. We don't know how much damage the bridge has sustained.
After a preliminary assessment, it was determined that the misalignment was caused by loosened soil. Though the bridge is still passable, traffic has been limited to just one direction at a time to ensure safety. At the 34.5-kilometer mark of Provincial Highway 11, excavators clear large rocks blocking Mingde Tunnel and push them to the side of the road. Landslides have left debris on the road and eroded its foundation. Over at Provincial Highway 8, rock slides have blocked the eastern section connecting Tianxiang and Taroko in many areas. The road has been closed. Its reopening on Wednesday will depend on the progress of repairs. On Monday afternoon, Silk's Place Taroko Hotel announced that it would remain closed until June 30th. Taroko National Park will remain closed until May 7th. One Hualien resident reported seeing a large swarm of millipedes on the road Monday evening, leading him to suspect that a big earthquake was on its way.
It was along the riverside near Ziji Elementary School. I was taking a stroll and saw that the ground next to the gazebo was covered with millipedes. We walk past there every day and had never seen that before.
At Qixingtan Security Checkpoint, a security camera captured a dog running amok during a tumbler. Surveillance at Nanbing Park shows trees swaying. At Dashibishan in Fengbing Township, the shaking was so intense that it sent a camera toppling over. Tuesday's cluster of quakes left Hualien all shook up.
Earthquake warnings go out to smartphones when the quake's intensity is expected to reach level 4. Last night in Taichung, some residents received alerts as many as 3 times, while others got it only once.
The local fire department released an infographic to explain why. A top reason for a missed alert is that the phone is in use when the warning is sent. The user might be in a voice conversation or using the 3G network to browse the internet. Another reason is that the phone is set up to refuse alerts. To accept alerts on an iOS system, navigate to Settings, find Notifications, and turn on Government Alerts. In the rising world of AI, Taiwan has a new AI voice platform. It specializes in creating official versions of Chinese speakers' voices.
A special song featuring the voices of 4 beloved folk singers has been released to mark the platform going online. Users will be able to put their own compositions and lyrics on the platform and get them sung by one of these beloved singers within 2 or 3 minutes.
Four folk singers collaborated on this new release, but the whole track, from the singer's voice to the music video, was made by AI.
I can tell my grandson, Grandpa sang this song, and then he'll say he doesn't believe it. And I'll say, no, really, we recorded it 60 years ago.
This is the first time these singers have heard their own voices produced by AI. The singer faces off against her AI rival, showing just how lifelike the imitation is. She says she likes to listen to it.
It's just like my real voice. I don't usually sing such high ranges, songs in such high keys. So when I heard it, it was very interesting. It gave me goosebumps. I feel touched. I personally feel it's very like my voice's real timbre.
The driving forces behind the AI music platform are Taiwan AI Labs founder Ethan Tu and famous campus singer Li Jianfu.
It took way less time and money because, for example, getting a singer into the studio means you have to pay the singer, pay for the studio. All that is a burden on the creator. In the past, people were always talking about deepfakes, which were pirate versions and imitations. But we use the same profit-sharing model and we tidy up the workflows. We're telling people this could be the future model of the AI voice economy.
Fake voices abound on the internet already, but a platform like this shows that an official AI voice can beat a pirate version. The project gives artists protections and works with a charity for the visually impaired, and gives more creators a platform to make music.
More officials have been named to the Lai administration's cabinet. Premier designate Zuo Rongtai announced 6 appointments, including the ministers of finance and agriculture. The lineup is mostly familiar faces.
The one newcomer is Chen Shuzi, who will head the Directorate General of Budget, Accounting and Statistics. Chen has served in the Tainan City government when Lai Qingde was mayor. She is credited with reducing Tainan's expenses and expanding its financial resources.
More appointments have been unveiled for Zhuo Rongtai's cabinet. They're mostly familiar faces, with the exception of Chen Shuzi, who will head the Directorate General of Budget, Accounting and Statistics. When Lai Qingde served as Tainan mayor, Chen headed the city's Research, Development and Evaluation Commission. She turned Tainan from a debt-racked city to a model for financial management.
能够帮助台南市大量的减债。
She helped reduce Tainan's debt significantly and set aside a budget for water management. She excels in both saving funds and expanding financial resources. I'm not exaggerating in the slightest.
国家减债是一定的。
Reducing national debt is a must. If we want healthy finances, that's something we'll have to do. But at the same time, we have to take into account Taiwan's economic development.
Remaining in their current posts will be Minister of Finance Zhang Cui-yun, Overseas Community Affairs Council Minister Xu Jia-ting, Ocean Affairs Council Minister Guan Biling, and Directorate General of Personnel Administration Director Su Junrong. Meanwhile, Acting Minister of Agriculture Chen Junji will formally take up the role. Amid criticism over the low proportion of women in previous appointments, four of the six posts announced on Tuesday went to women.
I'm relieved that we are announcing several women today.It's just how the cabinet is taking shape. We didn't deliberately arrange to announce the women cabinet heads today. We're just following the order that was established previously.
27 days remain until Lai's inauguration. Ministers without portfolio and positions related to national security are expected to be announced later this week.
China has been ramping up its activity in the Taiwan Strait. PLAI aircraft made a close approach last Saturday, testing Taiwan's territorial sea baseline of 24 nautical miles.
Earlier this week, a Chinese naval vessel confronted Taiwan's Zhangqian frigate near Penghu. It even went as far as to issue taunts via broadcast.
Beijing is launching a variety of gray zone operations to put pressure on us. The CCP has two main goals.The first is to test our reactions and attitudes ahead of May 20th. It hopes to put some pressure on Lai Ching-te before May 20th to influence his inauguration speech to some degree.
The Zhangqian frigate was in a maritime area that's routinely patrolled by Taiwan. The Navy says that frontline troops are closely monitoring all Chinese activity and are prepared to appropriately respond to any situation.Bookings have opened for the one-of-a-kind Vivid Express, which will run along Jiayi's Alishan starting May 24th. The newly remodeled train features a transparent cockpit and seats that swivel 360 degrees.
It's being managed by a travel agency, which will also offer tours on the former census train later this summer. The launch of the two trains comes ahead of the full reopening of the Alishan Forest Railway on July 1st.
The Alishan Forest Railway's Vivid Express pulls into the platform. Its design is inspired by the plumage of the collared bush robin, a bird commonly found in Alishan. The seats can swivel 360 degrees so that passengers can soak in the view.
It's quite novel. It's great. The seats rotate 360 degrees.This is a fully remodeled train. They even have a tour guide to talk us through the sights. It feels quite fresh and the service is great.
The Vivid Express will start operations on May 24th. The former census, which has already completed its trials, will enter service in June or July. Both trains are managed by a travel agency under a six-year license. Package tours are on offer.
What we're going after right now is quality, not quantity.The launch of the Vivid Express marks the beginning of this pursuit of quality.
Due to heavy damage from Typhoon Morakot and Typhoon Dudrin, service on the Alishan Forest Railway has been limited for 15 years. Last year, the Forestry and Nature Conservation Agency rebuilt the railway's Tunnel No. 42, paving the way for a full reopening by July of this year. In light of a recent string of earthquakes, the railway operator plans to use ground-penetrating radar to monitor the tracks in the future.
Before we start operations each day, every line on the rail will be inspected by our team. We will conduct a thorough check after any earthquake above a level 3. If an earthquake occurs during an inspection, we'll run the inspection again to ensure safety.
The Vivid Express and former census will be extra services that won't affect the existing timetable, the rail operator says. Once they're up and running, each train will make one round trip each day, giving visitors a new way to experience Alishan.
According to the Ministry of the Interior, 125,000 couples got married in Taiwan last year, returning to pre-pandemic levels. Venues have taken note as couples gravitate towards smaller boutique weddings rather than large traditional banquets.
To seize this 40 billion NT market, venues are holding model weddings ahead of the peak season.
A couple gazes lovingly at one another, smiling as they celebrate the beginning of their new lives together.
This is how I love you.
This five-star hotel is organizing a demonstration wedding day. In total, 40 couples are led through the entire experience, from their entrance to vows and performances.
Before the pandemic, hotels would host an average of 250 or more weddings in a year with 30 or 40 tables each. Now they're smaller, mostly about 15 to 20 tables. They're more willing to spend on entertainment or food. We've compared 5 or 6 places. As for the quality of the venue, the budget, and the food, we have to compromise and discuss with our families. Maybe about 30 tables for 20 to 25,000 NT each. We care about whether the interior has been updated and whether the setup is to our expectations.
To appeal better to the tastes of the younger generation, this venue is offering European-style floral arrangements and individual plates rather than banquet food. It has also invited 12 cake, dress, and photography businesses for the couple's convenience.
At the first meeting, I get a lot of contacts of new customers and couples, then follow up with them later. I end up signing contracts with more than 60%. If it's a Western-style wedding, they'll usually go all out and get a white wedding gown and an evening dress.
Marriages bounced back to pre-pandemic levels last year, with 125,000 couples getting married, creating a market worth an estimated 40 billion NT. This year is expected to be the same or rise by 10%. These kinds of exhibitions are key as the industry prepares for the upcoming peak season.
It's a changeable time in the smartphone industry. Late last year, Apple overtook Samsung as the world's biggest smartphone supplier. But in the first quarter of this year, that was reversed, with Samsung back in the top spot.
New models from Huawei are having a big impact on the market, primarily taking Chinese customers away from Apple, which has seen huge drops in sales this year so far. Meanwhile, Samsung just launched a new AI phone that is drawing lots of attention, while Apple's newest model won't be out until September.
With a 50MP lens, this phone has very superior camera functions. And with a few clicks, you can delete passersby from the photo. Another brand has launched their first AI phone, offering real-time translation on phone calls, as well as summaries of articles. Many brands launched new flagship phones in the first quarter of 2024, with cutting-edge functions aimed at reinvigorating the flagging phone market.
Shipment of AI phones could exceed AI PCs this year. Looking at the apps that exist now, there aren't any really market-beating applications, so I wonder if they will be able to stimulate much demand for phone upgrades.
Analysts are not convinced the new AI functions will convince users to trade in their phones for new models. Research from market analytics firm IDC showed that 289 million new smartphones were shipped in the first quarter of 2024, a growth of 7.8% from the same period last year. Samsung has come back to the top spot, holding 20.8% of the market. The new flagship and flip phones from Huawei last year were a blow for Apple, which now occupies just 17.3% of the market. In at number 3 is Xiaomi, with 14.1%.
Huawei will probably have a very noticeable comeback this year. So other manufacturers will probably see very weak growth or even stay level. In order of the magnitude of impact, it should be Apple, Oppo, Vivo, Xiaomi, and Honor.
Experts say that Samsung's new S24 series launch earlier this year shipped over 60 million units in Q1, representing contraction of 0.7% compared to that period last year. Apple shipped 50.1 million units, shrinking 10% year-on-year. But the Chinese firm Xiaomi grew 33% in the same period. It's a turbulent time for the phone industry, and analysts are watching to see if changes are afoot in the supply chain.
Swimmers, take note. The Jingmen Open Water Swim and Xiamen Jingmen Cross Strait Swimming Competition will kick off in July.
FTV reporter Stephanie Yang has the highlights.
At the sound of the gunshot, swimmers jump into the sea. The annual Jingmen Open Water Swim is about to enter its 21st year. It will take place at Lieyu Township on July 20th. The event will also feature activities and markets. Last year, we moved to Lieyu, or Little Jingmen, for the first time. The response was very good, so this year, we will make it even better. That is to say, we will incorporate the tourism resource of Lieyu into our event. Another race that will take place in Jingmen in July is a Xiamen Jingmen Cross Strait Swimming Competition. It is a 7-kilometer race from Xiamen to Jingmen.
The 12th Xiamen Jingmen Cross Strait Swimming Competition is probably the only such event that officials from both sides of the Taiwan Strait jointly sponsor. Since it is the 12th edition, it is very competitive. We will also hold 3 qualifiers soon.
Registration for the races is open online till June 21st. FTV reporter Stephanie Yang and Lin Dawei in Taipei.